Well, that's how it works. I mean, it's in real life, the biggest example of that is the fact that you have a call to arms. In its most general sense, you could call this a call to arms, which is parlied in religious language. But, you know, if you use the word repurpose, that's quite a good way of describing what happened in the evolution of militant radical Islam. You know, you get definitive texts, which are wake-up calls, as it were, to an idea, a new idea, which is that you can justify certain violent acts by reference to Islamic texts, but they come from the desire to commit violent acts. You know, whether it's the radicalized version of the Muslim Brotherhood under Sayyid Qutb's sort of tutelage that took against the Egyptian regime whilst themselves in harsh prison conditions in Egypt, and he wrote a book called Milestones, which develop this idea of justifying an attack on your own government in Islamic terms, or whether it's Abdullah Azzam who was doing it, a similar kind of thing, but in defense of Muslim lands in response to the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. You know, and these texts are people who want to fight for one reason or another and are looking for the best way to mobilize the troops.
Yeah, it opens with the idea that there will be violence and then justifies it back by working backwards. Yeah, so
And actually sometimes quite understandably, I mean, you know, in a situation where there is a war on the ground, anybody on either side seeking to justify an attack on their opponents, you can readily understand it, you know, in a situation like Chechnya or somewhere, or, you know, to give an example of which we so wholeheartedly approved the fighting the Soviets in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
You know, you can understand, well, you just recruit every argument going to your position. And that's a very strong one if your culture is essentially Islamic. In the same way that you look at these Middle Eastern countries now, the biggest protest of the week is after Friday prayers. It doesn't mean that you see what I mean? It's just the underpinning of the culture is a Muslim language. Even if the protest is not undertaken in the name of Islam, you will find people who are talking about it and talking about people who died in Cairo as martyrs because it's part of their cultural language. See what I mean?
So, yes.
Similarly, these things have a broad appeal if they're described in the right language. But I think in the film, obviously, it's turned up to a ridiculous level from a number of different perspectives. Well, it was a challenge, but it was fascinating, no question, because there was quite a lot to discover. I mean, apart from the actual details of how a homegrown jihadi cell works, nothing short of the entire evolution of Islamic culture over the last 1400 years.
Mm-hmm.
And not excluding all of the myriad variations, obviously with particular reference to the sort of Pakistani diaspora in Britain from the 50s onwards.
Yeah.
So and indeed the colonial inheritance that implies. So there's a lot to get your teeth into, but it was interesting to do, not just because I suppose, you know, the subject is turning a pretty big international wheel, not least financially, but also because, you know, it's part of your own culture and it raises a lot of universal questions about what people decide to fight for. We did a guest screening at the NYPD anti-terror department.
Oh, yeah.
And the conversations we were having with them about, you know, I suppose the homegrown jihadi phenomenon there in relation to how it is in Britain. It's so different. There are similarities, but there are many, many differences.